Thank you, Ross. Appreciate that. Let's take our Bibles tonight and go to the book of Matthew. We're in the book of Matthew tonight, chapter 24. That's always interesting. Pray for, like she said, those ladies coming for the scrapbook weekend. I don't know if you're aware of it or not, but also the Larry Fucciarelli, they play pickleball two, three, four times a week here. And sometimes some of the people that come to that, they'll come here. I talk to them all the time, coming in and out of the building. And some will show up in the service here and that coming to church. And as a result, playing pickleball over in the gym. So Larry is using that as a kind of an outreach and to be able to connect with families. And matter of fact, we've got a gentleman that's been coming to the Wednesday night Bible study. And then here two Sundays ago, he and his wife both showed up on a Sunday morning. And so not only we'll be praying for the ladies' scrapbook weekend and also praying for those that come in and out of the building playing pickleball and that. So just as a reminder, if you wasn't in the sanctuary this morning, we are going to have a work day tomorrow outside. And we have a chipper rented that we're picking up between 7 and 8 in the morning. And somewhere around 8 o'clock, we're going to start tackling some of this outside work. We've got the trees cut down. Special thanks to Brother Bob Wilcox and Brother Frank Barrett, Pastor Adam Wade, myself, that I've been out there working on it. And we've got a lot of wood cut up. I see some people have been coming and getting it, which is good. We want it all taken. So if you know anybody needs wood, there's more wood out there. They can take it. There'll be more after tomorrow. And then we'll be on a chipper tomorrow. We got trees to cut down that are growing wild in that retention pond. By the way, when we got the water and the flood, that retention pond was completely full from bank to bank, from side to side. But there's trees that are growing in there, so we got to get those out. Plus, we got everything, all the brush that has been cut down and pushed to the back lot. We got to run that all through the chipper. I just happened to hit it the other day. I walked into Chet's, and I said, hey, when are you guys going to have a chipper available? And they said, well, funny you should ask, because we haven't been able to get one. And they said, 18 months ago, we bought a new one, a brand new chipper, and it just showed up at the shop. And they're servicing it and getting it ready to put out. And I said, was there any chance we can use that on Monday? She goes, and they said, yep. And so we got a chipper. It's going to cost the church about $350, but we're going to go through that. It can't burn. If I had my choice, we'd put a bonfire out there and get some hot dogs, hamburgers, and Diet Cokes and have a little party out there and just burn it all up. But we can't do that. City of Canton won't let you do that. And which reminds me, in South Dakota, I lived in South Dakota out in the country on 5 acres, and I had a bunch of stuff that I had collected on a burn pile. And so my dad and I were standing there burning that one night, and I was leaning on a pitchfork. And I looked at my dad and I said, you hear those fire trucks? And so he said, yeah. He said, I wonder where they're going. I said, yeah, me too. And so we're sitting there, we're burning this bonfire. I mean, we had a bonfire. You know, if you're going to have a bonfire, Bud razzes me all the time when we go to the camp about getting the fire too big, too hot. I said, you can't never have a fire too big, too hot. But I mean, we had a pretty good fire going. Next thing I know, I said, you know what, Dad? I said, I think those fire trucks are getting closer to the house. I wonder if they're coming here. He said, man, I hope not. Sure enough, that's where they're headed. One of the neighbors thought the house was on fire or something and called. Here come the fire trucks, come ripping in there, and, you know, tankers and everything. And they thought, I said, ho, guys, everything's fine. We're not burning the place down. So, but if I had my choice, we'd burn all that out there, but we don't. So we got to use a chipper, and which will be good. We'll use it for mulch around on the property somewhere. So anyway, and I appreciate it. We did get a volunteer to bring some food in tomorrow. So the guys will be able to eat, and they won't pass out and faint. So that'll be a good thing, and that. So look forward to getting some of that done tomorrow. By the way, if you're here and you want to be a part of all that, if you want to come for an hour or two, you can. If you can't, I understand. If many hands make for light work, and you want to jump in on it, you're more than welcome to. The chipper's got to go back tomorrow about 4:15. We got to get it back there, fueled up, and turn back in, and they close at 5. So we'll chip on it, try to get all that cleaned up, and run that through the chipper, and it'll be a good day. In your Bibles, in Matthew chapter 24, going to preach a message tonight on how to be ready, for the coming rapture. How do you get ready for the rapture? And that's the next event on God's calendar. And you say, well, is there anything I can do? I think there's a few things we can look at tonight in the Scripture. that we can do to be ready, to make sure you're ready, to anticipate, to look forward to, that the Lord's coming back soon and very soon. And so Matthew 24, when you open this chapter of Matthew, it really deals here with Jesus telling us about the destruction of the temple. And obviously the disciples wanted to know when that was going to happen. Well, we know it happened in A.D. 70. The temple was completely destroyed. So let's pick up on the dialogue here, Matthew 24. But we're going to get into then the course of this age and a little bit of what he's talking about here on this abomination of desolation and the great tribulation period in Matthew 24. It says in verse 1, Jesus went out, he departed from the temple, and his disciples came to him for to show him the buildings of the temple. Notice this carefully. And then Jesus said unto them, see ye not all these things? Verily I say unto you. They're standing there looking at the temple now, saying, there shall not be left here one stone upon another that shall not be thrown down. So the big question in verse 3 was, and as he sat on the Mount of Olives, the disciples came unto him privately, saying, tell us, when shall these things be? And what shall be the sign of thy coming and the end of the world? Boy, wouldn't a lot of people like to know, when's the end of the world? When is that going to come? And so Jesus begins to lay out, because you're going to see here in the rest of the chapter, he begins to talk about the end of the world. Well, they thought, really, I really believe first century Christianity thought the world was going to end in the first century. That shortly after their life, they had no idea that it was going to be 2,000 plus years later, and the world, they couldn't see that far. But prophetically, there's some important verses that are given here. Jesus, in verse 4, he answered these disciples, and he said unto them, take heed that no man deceive you. For many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many. And ye shall hear of wars and rumors of wars, and see that ye be not troubled, for all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. For nation shall rise against nation, kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines and pestilences and earthquakes in divers places, and all these are the beginning of sorrows. Then shall they deliver you up, talking about now in the first century, these Christians, these believers, then shall they deliver you up to be afflicted, and shall kill you, and shall be hated of all nations for my name's sake. In verse 9, one thing you might want to make a note there is that all the apostles, all of them except one, John, the beloved apostle, did not die a martyr's death. All the other apostles died a martyr's death. Jesus preached that, told that. He said, you're going to be afflicted, and some will kill you, and you shall be hated of all nations for my name's sake. And so all the apostles, some were bludgeoned to death, some were crucified, some Peter was crucified upside down. They all died a martyr's death. In verse 10 it said, and then shall many be offended, and shall betray one another, and shall hate one another. And many false prophets shall rise and deceive many, and because iniquity, sin shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. Remember that Jesus said in the book of Revelation to the Laodicean church, I'd rather you be hot or cold, but you're lukewarm. And he says, but he that, in verse 13, that shall endure unto the end, the same shall be saved. And this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness unto all nations, and then shall the end come. So when you think about that, really in the first century, as I shared with the Sunday School Hour this morning, and even talking about the missionary journey, the missionary journeys to the east, if you were to go east, you would see in Asia Minor and Turkey and Ephesus and Turkey and that area there. But if you go west, you go towards Italy and Rome, and the gospel, Paul, eventually, after that third missionary journey, went on to Rome. And by the end of the first century, the gospel had reached the entire known world at that time. Today, we realize that the world is even bigger than what we realized back then. The population growth is much, much larger now. So there's still areas that have got that we need to get the gospel into, and thus why we participate in Faith Promise Missions. So verse 15 says, and talking about here now, this is really his Olivet discourse, when ye therefore shall see the abomination of desolation. Now, you might under that. That's pretty big words when you think about it. What is that? Abomination, if you define abomination, abomination defined simply means a thing that causes disgust or hatred. So abomination, really simply, what does God hate more than anything? Idolatry. What does God hate more than anything else? Is nations that are corrupt, idolatry and false gods. Today, we studied a little bit about Ephesus and the great goddess Diana that was built there. And that, so idolatry has been a real problem. So and then that word desolation, it's really defined as a state of complete emptiness or destruction or anguish or misery. Well, here, really prophetically, the reference is, and we're going to look at it here in a moment with Daniel. We're going to come back to that, because this abomination of desolation is what he's referring to, is spoken of by Daniel. And we're going to come back to Daniel 7 in just a moment and take a look at that. Stand in the holy place. Obviously, that is a reference here to the Great Tribulation, is what he's talking about here. But he says, then let them which be in Judea flee into the mountains. Let him which is on the housetop not come down to take anything out of his house. Neither let him which is in the field return back to take his clothes. Woe unto them that are with child and to them that give suck in those days. But pray ye that your flight be not in the winter, neither on the Sabbath day, for then shall be great tribulation, such as was not since the beginning of the world to this time, no, nor ever shall be. So the worst of great tribulation is yet to come, has not yet happened. Verse 22, and except those days should be shortened, there should be no flesh saved, but for the elect's sake those days shall be shortened. Then if any man shall say unto you, lo, here is Christ, or there, believe it not. For there shall arise false Christs and false prophets, and shall show great signs and wonders, insomuch that if it were possible they shall deceive the very elect. Behold, I have told you before, wherefore, if they shall say unto you, behold, he is in the desert, go not forth. Behold, he is in the secret chamber, believe it not. For as the lightning cometh out of the east and shineth even unto the west, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. For whosoever the carcass is, there will be the eagles gathered together. Again, a prophetic reference to that time at the Great Tribulation, the Battle of Armageddon, and that, and when they will feast upon those that have been slain. Immediately after the tribulation of those days shall the sun be darkened, the moon shall not give her light, the stars shall fall from heaven, the powers of the heavens shall be shaken, and then shall appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven. Then shall all the tribes of the earth mourn, and they shall see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven with power and great glory, and he shall send his angels with a great sound of a trumpet, and they shall gather together his elect from the four winds and from one end of heaven to the other. You know what is interesting there? You talk about the coming of the Lord. He's going to come back, what, in the clouds. And the Bible says when he comes back, the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive, 1 Thessalonians 4, shall be caught up together to meet the Lord. When he comes back the second time, we are coming back with him. So he comes in two stages. He comes at the rapture, removing the bride of Christ, removing the church, removing the believers. Why? Getting ready for that great wrath and that he's going to unleash. And he gives us the example here of this fig tree. He says, now learn a parable of the fig tree, when his branch is yet tender and put it forth leaves. And you know that summer is nigh, and so likewise you. When you will see all these things, know that it is near, even at the doors. Yeah, we may not know exactly when the Lord's coming, but you'll know when it's getting close. Let me ask you tonight, do you think it's getting close? I would say absolutely it's getting close. And it's getting closer. I've been a Christian. I put down on my sheet, on my leaf that I put out here on the tree this morning, I was saved in 1967, and they preached on the second coming of Christ and the rapture at that time. And I thought, you know what? I'm probably never going to be able to get old. I'm probably never going to get married, probably never going to have children, because the Lord's coming back and it's so near. And that's been, what, over 50-some plus years ago. And he hasn't come yet, but 50 years is not very long. So he says here, so likewise, when you see these things, know that the end, it is near, even at the doors. Verily I say unto you, this generation shall not pass till all these things be fulfilled. Well, what was fulfilled? The temple was destroyed in 70 AD, and things are all lining up for the rapture. Things are all lining up for the great tribulation. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall not pass away. But of that day, what day? That day, the day the Lord comes back, that day and that hour knoweth no man. No, not the angels of heaven, but my Father only. Nobody knows when he's coming. Every once in a while I'll hear somebody say, well, you know, I've even in my lifetime seen people that have predicted or prophesied or said he's coming, and I've even seen people go out and sell everything they had. I even had somebody here in church, here at our place, said, you know, a while back they felt very strongly that the Lord was coming back, so they went and sold everything they had and got down to come and find out. Guess what? The Lord didn't come right then. And now they're trying to put their life back together a little bit. You don't know. Nobody knows. Nobody can prophesy. Nobody can say when he's coming. Not the angels don't even know, but only God knows when he's coming back. And here it is in verse 37. But as the days of Noah were, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. Well, how bad was it in Noah's day? Well, they were given and taken in marriage, and there was the wickedness of the land and the fornication and the murder and the adultery and all the things that were going on, and God destroyed it. It said here, for as in the days that were before the flood, before Noah's day, they were eating and drinking and marrying and giving in marriage until the day that Noah entered the ark, and knew not until the flood came and took them all away, so also shall the coming of the Son of Man be. Now here, this is interesting in verse 40. The two shall be in the field, the one shall be taken, the other left. Well, I'll tell you what, you want to make sure you're the one taken, not left behind. Two women will be grinding at the mill, the one shall be taken, the other left. Watch therefore, for you know not what your hour your Lord doth come. But know this, that if the goodman of the house had known and what watch the thief would come, he would have watched and would not have suffered his house to be broken up. Therefore, be ye also ready. Be ready. For as such an hour as you think not, the Son of Man cometh. So at the least time, when you think that, you know, well, you don't know. And when you least expect it is when he's going to come. And who then is faithful and wise servant, whom his Lord hath made ruler over his household, to give them meat in due season? Blessed is that servant whom his Lord, when he cometh, shall find so doing. And verily I say unto you that he shall make him ruler over all his goods. But, and if that evil servant shall say in his heart, my Lord delayeth his coming, and shall begin to smite his fellow servants, and to eat and drink with the drunken, and the Lord of that servant shall come in a day when he looketh not for him, and an hour that he is not aware of, and shall cut him asunder, and appoint him his portion with the hypocrites, and there shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. So there's enough warning in here in this text to give us that he's coming, and soon and very soon. When you see these signs, so the message tonight is, how do we as believers, what do you do to be ready? Want to make sure you're ready. Want to make sure you're prepared. But go back to verse 15 when he says, when you shall therefore see that abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet. What does that mean? I'm glad you asked. Let's go to Daniel chapter 7. Daniel chapter 7, and it explains a little bit about what this abomination, he says here, that was spoken of by Daniel. And here it is in Daniel chapter 7. This is really a vision that God gave to Daniel, and it's really a vision of some of the things that happened in Daniel's day, but also prophetically in the end times, and yes, even the great tribulation. So in Daniel chapter 7 and verse 1, in the first year of Belshazzar, the king of Babylon, Daniel had a dream and visions of his head upon his bed. And then he wrote the dream, and he told the sum of the matter. And Daniel spake and said, I saw in my vision by night, and behold, the four winds of the heavens strove upon the great sea. And the four great beasts came up from the sea, and diverse one from another. Verse 4 really talks about here the world empire of Nebuchadnezzar. Says the first was like a lion and had eagle's wings, and I beheld the wings thereof were plucked, and it was lifted up from the earth and made stand upon the feet as a man, and a man's heart was given to it. It's really a reference to the Babylonian kingdom, to the time of Nebuchadnezzar during time. That was during the time of Daniel's reign. so Daniel could see these prophecies unfold. The Medo-Persian Empire in verse 5, and behold, another beast, the Medo-Persian Empire is the second, like to a bear, and it raised up itself on one side, and it had three ribs in the mouth of it, between the teeth of it, and they said also unto it, arise and devour much flesh. Then the world empire today, you know, it was interesting because today I had a chance to go to lunch with Tony and Ross and John and Robin Moore. Well, at lunch today, John and Robin just got home from Greece. So they were telling us about their, a little bit about their trip to Greece. Matter of fact, Tony and Ross, I don't think we got a word in edgewise. I think they yickety-yacked the whole time. It was all about Greece. It was about into Ephesus, and they were just filled with all this knowledge of what happened in Greece. And they, I told Robin and John today, and Tony and Roz were there, I said, I've had a chance to be out of the country a few times on mission trips, and I'm always glad to get back to the USA. No place better than home. And John, sitting right beside me, said, I could move there. I could move to Greece and live there, period. He absolutely loved it. So you want a little more detail? Talk to John more about that. But anyway, verse 6 is really about the world empire of Greece, and that was under Alexander. Remember that? That came out in world history. After this, I beheld, and lo, another, like a leopard, which had upon the back of it four wings, and of a fowl of the beast, had also four heads, and dominion was given to it. And then the Roman Empire, in verse 7, simply after this, Daniel says, I saw in the night visions, behold, a fourth beast, dreadful and terrible and strong exceedingly, and it had a great iron teeth. This is the great Roman Empire. And it devoured and brake in pieces and stamped the residue of the feet of it, and it was a diverse from all the beasts that were before it, and it had 10 horns. So the great Roman Empire, and it was powerful all the way from Asia Minor, all the way over to Italy during that time. And matter of fact, remember that? Ephesus, we talked about today, was really the backbone, and Paul spent 3 years there in Ephesus preaching the gospel, and so the gospel could get into that part of the world. He says here, then, getting more towards the great tribulation, he said, I considered these horns, the horns, and behold. Daniel says, and there came out from among them a little horn, before whom there were three of the first horns plucked up by the roots, and behold, in this horn were eyes, like the eyes of man, and mouth speaketh great things. And so now Daniel sees this vision of the coming of the Son of Man in glory. He says, I beheld till the thrones were cast down, and the Ancient of Days did sit, and whose garment was white as snow, and the hair of his head like pure wool. And his throne was like the fiery flame, and his wheels as burning fire. And a fiery stream issued and came forth from before him. Thousands ministered unto him, and 10,000 times 10,000 stood before him. And the judgment was set, and the books were opened. So he's talking about here during the time of the great tribulation, and the Lord Jesus will come back riding upon a horse and to defeat the evil nations, defeat the Antichrist and Satan and the beast. He said, I beheld, and then because of the voice of the great words which the horn spake, I beheld even until the beast was slain and his body destroyed and given to the burning flame. As concerning the rest of the beasts, they had their dominion taken away, and yet their lives were prolonged for a season and a time. God used those world empires to deal with idolatry and wickedness in the nation of Israel. All the ones we went down through there, from Babylon to the Medo-Persian Empire, to Greece, to all these things here. When you look at it, I, Daniel, he says here in verse 15, was grieved in my spirit in the midst of my body, and the visions of my head troubled me. Can you imagine Daniel, being Daniel, and getting these visions and trying to figure out, what does that all mean? I think a lot of them didn't really know all the details of exactly what it meant in prophecy. I think though they were led by the Holy Spirit of God, it was the Holy Spirit of God that wrote the Old Testament, wrote the New Testament, and put in these things, and they told Daniel to write. Daniel may not have understood every little detail of what he was writing because the Holy Spirit of God wrote this. And then it goes on to say in verse 11, I beheld then because of the voice of the great words which the horn spoke, I beheld till the beast was slain, his body destroyed, given to the burning flame. And as concerning the rest of the beast, they had dominion taken away, yet their lives were prolonged for a season and a time. And so when he talks about here, I saw in the night visions, behold, one like the Son of Man came with the clouds of heaven and came to the Ancient of Days, and they brought him near before him. And there was given him dominion and glory and a kingdom that all people and nations and languages should serve him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion which shall not pass away, and his kingdom that which shall not be destroyed. I, Daniel, was grieved in my spirit in the midst of my body, and the visions of my head troubled me. I came near unto one of them that stood by and asked him the truth of all this. And so he told me, and he made me know the interpretation of the things. These great beasts which are four kings which shall arise out of the earth, but the saints of the Most High shall take the kingdom and possess the kingdom forever, even forever and ever. Then I would know the truth of the fourth beast, and which was diverse from all the others, exceeding dreadful, whose teeth were of iron, his nails of brass, and devoured and break in pieces, and stamped the residue with his feet, and of the 10 horns that went in his head, and of the other which came up, and before whom 3 fell, even of that horn that had eyes, and a mouth that spake very great things, whose look was more stout than his fellows. I beheld. And the same horn made war with the saints. Remember that? I said when the comeback of the second coming of Christ, Revelation chapter 19, chapter 20, we're coming back with him. It says here, that I beheld the same horn made war with the saints and prevailed against them until the Ancient of Days came and judgment was given to the saints of the Most High. And the time came that the saints possessed the kingdom. And thus he said, the fourth beast shall be the fourth kingdom upon the earth, which shall be diverse from all the kingdoms, shall devour the whole earth and shall tread it down, break it in pieces. And then the 10 horns out of this kingdom are 10 kings that shall arise, and another shall rise after them. And he shall be diverse from the first, and he shall subdue 3 kings. He shall speak great words against the Most High, and shall wear out the saints of the Most High, and think to change times and laws, and they shall be given into his hand until a time and times and the dividing of time, and the judgment shall sit, and they shall take away his dominion and to consume and to destroy it unto the end. And the kingdom and dominion and the greatness of the kingdom under the whole heaven shall be given to the people of the saints of the Most High, whose kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and all dominions shall serve and obey him. Hitherto is the end of the matter. And as for me, Daniel, my cogitations much troubled me, and my countenance changed in me, but I kept the matter in my heart. Wow, what a great prophecy. I can't imagine being Daniel, and in his spirit, when he receives this vision, the Holy Spirit gives it to him, and he writes, and he begins to put all these things down as it unfolds. So here's a few things I want to give you tonight. I think, number one, how to be ready for the coming of the rapture. Number one, I think, is just simply make sure that you have the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ covering your soul. And I go back to remember the death angel when he went through the land in the book of Exodus. And, Moses would go in and tell Pharaoh, let my people go. And plague after plague after plague, Pharaoh would go. And then he'd renege and say, no, you can't go until the death of the firstborn. And then God told him, he simply said, you, Israel, you enter into your homes, put blood over the doorpost and the lintel. And when I see the blood, I will pass over you and through the land. So you better make sure. That's why I said to that lady that said to me on the doorway out there, she said, well, I can't remember exactly the day or time or whatever that I was saved. I said, well, let me ask you this. Are you saved? She goes, oh, yeah, I'm saved. I said, well, how do you know? She goes, I just knew that I had to leave the Catholic Church because I just didn't feel I was getting what I needed to get there, and it didn't resonate with my heart and my mind. And so my husband and I, we both left. And that, I said, the main thing is, Jesus said, if you shall believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. So the blood of Christ is the dividing line between that which is saved and that which is lost. The blood covers the sin. So not when I see your good works, but when I see the blood. You know, these old gospel hymns, they have great messages in them. When I see the blood, I will pass over you. So it's not about your good works or your good deeds or your church membership, but it's when I see the blood of Christ, the atonement of Christ. And blood gives us what? Life. It gives us light of the glorious gospel, and then it gives us our position in him, and it's the blood that really protects us. So number one for you tonight, how to be ready for the rapture is make sure you got the blood covering your life. Number two is, let's go to Romans chapter 8, is to make sure that you have the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit of God in you. And by that meaning that we need the Holy Spirit to make us alive. We need the Holy Spirit to take us You know, when he comes back, nobody knows when he's coming. God knows. The saints don't know. Nobody knows. Some will say when he's coming. We don't know. But when he comes, we need to be ready. And the Holy Spirit, and that. Notice in Romans chapter 8, and you get down there to verse 9, 10, and 11, said, but ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, in the Holy Spirit. That's capital S. So if so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you, now if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. And if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, is life because of righteousness. But if the Spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, and he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by his Spirit that dwelleth in you. So it's the power of the Holy Spirit of God. So number two tonight is to make sure that we have the Holy Spirit and to be aware of his presence and his power. And I really believe you're going to know. You're going to sense. You're going to know. We're getting close. We're getting near. And we are. We're getting closer now than we've ever been before. Here's the third thought. And go to Luke chapter 21. Let me show this to you. You can go and not be ready. When you get to Luke 21... and you get down to, what is it, in Luke 21, verse 34. These are warnings in view of the Lord's return. verse 34 said, take heed to yourselves, lest at any time your hearts be overcharged with surfeiting here, and drunkenness, and cares of this life, and so that they come upon you unawares. For as a snare shall it come on all them that dwell on the face of the whole earth. And watch ye therefore, and pray always that ye may be accounted worthy to escape all these things that shall come to pass, and to stand before the Son of Man. And in the daytime he was teaching in the temple, and at night he went out, abode in the mount that is called the Mount of Olives, and all the people came early in the morning to him in the temple for to hear him. So they were ready. So point number three is to be separated from the world. To be separated from the world. Don't get caught up in the cares of the world and be focused on that. Be focused on each and every day how believers can be ready for the rapture. Have the blood covering your life. Be aware of the sensitivity of the Holy Spirit. Number three is being separated from the world so you can hear him speak. And as little children, abide in him and he shall abide in you. And then 1 Corinthians 15, let me show you this. I think point number four is get busy for the Lord. Get busy for the Lord. You know, whatever you want to do, there's a lot of things to do. I was talking to Frank Barrett out here in the foyer today. We're talking about, and Frank does a lot of things. Frank comes in here every Monday and he'll vacuum. He comes in here, he runs chainsaws, he'll come in here, work on the mower, the plow truck or whatever, and just has a servant's heart. He said to me today, he said, man, Pastor, he said, I just wish more people would volunteer and find one thing that they could do. You know, can you imagine if the whole church-wide body just did one thing, just one? Then one person wouldn't have to do six things along the way. We just need more volunteers. So my point is, whatever it is, get busy for the Lord. Find your one thing, whatever that is, and get busy. You get down to 1 Corinthians 15, and what is it down in verse 58? Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, here it is now, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Whatever you do it for the Lord. Whatever you do, whatever ministry that is, you do it as unto the Lord. So get busy for the Lord, I think will help us to be ready for the coming rapture. And then go to Acts chapter 20. We were a little bit there in Acts this morning, and that is being free. Paul said what? I shared with you this morning on Paul's third missionary journey, is be free from the blood of all men. By that simply meaning that if we know somebody around that we know for sure is not saved, we know for sure hasn't come to Christ yet, we know for sure doesn't have the promise of eternal life, you want to make sure you witness to them, because God's going to hold us accountable. And Paul's saying here in the ministry, he said, I did everything I could to give the gospel to you. Yes, he was challenged and persecuted and tested time and time again. But notice what he said as I shared it with the church this morning. Acts 20, you get down to verse 26 and verse 27. Paul said, wherefore, or Luke wrote this and said, wherefore I take you to record this day that I, Paul, here am pure from the blood of all men. For I have not shunned to declare unto you all the counsel of God. just be free from the blood of all men. We've got to be faithful and warning people and let them to know. You know what's coming. I know what's coming. Colossians chapter 1 and verse 28. Notice what Paul said here when he wrote this book of Colossians. Colossians 1. Get down to verse 28. Whom we preach, warning every man and teaching every man in all wisdom, that we may present every man perfect in Christ Jesus. That's really all you're doing. You're warning people that, hey, the Lord's coming back. Are you ready? Do you believe? Have you trusted in Him? Do you have the blood over your life? Do you listen to the Holy Spirit of God? Are you separated from the world? Are you busy for Him? And that, are you free from the blood of all men? And then Ephesians 5, over a few pages there, Ephesians chapter 5, is be filled with the Spirit. When you and I are filled, that's the last thing Paul gave us here, one of the last things in this great chapter here. He said, be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. And the Holy Ghost is our teacher. The Holy Spirit is our teacher. He's our guide. He's our fruit bearer. He's our translator. The Holy Spirit is everything to you and I as we walk with Him. So may we be walking with the power of the Holy Spirit in our life. And then Hebrews, I'll close with this verse tonight. Hebrews chapter 9, verse 28. So Christ was once offered to bear the sins of many, but unto them that look for Him shall He appear the second time without sin unto salvation. So the key is, are we looking for His coming? Are we prepared? So how do you get ready? I think there's things a believer can do to get ready for His coming. Anticipate and be ready and look forward to that. And so here, Paul writing this, simply saying that that for him, that he shall appear the second time without sin unto salvation. He's coming back, and to make sure we're ready, to be ready for Him. We know He's coming, but I'll tell you what, when He does come, some are going to be caught unaware. Some are not going to be prepared. Some are going to say, you know, it's going to catch them by surprise. It should never catch none of us by surprise. Heavenly Father, God, tonight we love You. Thank You for the Word of God. Thank You that we as believers can understand here in the Scripture how that we can be prepared and understanding that, that yes, even in history records times of the Assyrians bringing judgment upon Israel and the Babylonian Empire and the Medes and Persians and all that Greece brought upon the world. But God, to realize the power even of the Roman Empire during the first century Christianity and the challenge that was brought there, but yet it just allowed the gospel to spread throughout all the known world. And that's really what Faith Promise Missions is all about, is getting the gospel out to as many as possible while we still have time. So God, may the second coming of Christ, may His soon return, not catch any of us unaware. And God, we know that only You know, but may we watch and pray each and every day that two shall be in the field. One shall be taken, one shall be left. God, may we do everything that we can to get the gospel to every possible person that we can while we have time. May we be faithful in the Great Commission. In Jesus' name we pray, and with thanksgiving. Amen.